BC City Connection, that's our podcast from Battle Creek, Michigan, the official podcast of the City of Battle Creek government. I'm Richard Pyatt. Today, we're talking about all things water. Want to welcome Matt Miller and Amber Whitcomb to the program. Matt is the Water Distribution Supervisor, and Amber is a civil engineering tech. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, just quickly, when we talk about water, we're talking about the water that flows from our taps, not necessarily the water that's in lakes. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Our water distribution system.
Absolutely. And this has been going back a few years now, maybe more than a few, certainly an area of concern, right, for residents, because certainly Flint put us on the map as it relates to concerns related to that. Luckily, we have pretty tight ship around here, so we haven't had issues like that. But of course, folks like you pay attention to those things. And in fact, there is such a thing as an annual water quality report, which talks about the status of our water quality, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's also known as our CCR, Consumer Confidence Report. This report has to be produced every year. I think we usually put it out by July 1st. And that report typically gives out information like general health information about the water quality and how we kind of treat and distribute the water throughout the system. It'll also have things in there like recent large projects that we've done throughout the year. And also it will have our water quality testing results that we've done throughout the whole year. They put that in a nice table in that report too. We do this report all in-house. Municipalities will have that contracted out and have somebody do that for them. But we've got a lot of talented staff in here at the Public Works and put it together. And so that'll be ready July 1st.
You can, that's required, isn't it? That you're required to do that.
Yeah, that is required by Eagle. So we do have that available on our city's website. If you want to get to that, you can hover over. It's at the top of the page. It'll say, I want to. You can hover over that and you can scroll down and select the annual water quality reports. And From there, you can pick the latest one. We also go back. I think all the reports are on there back to like 2011. So even if you're interested in the reports from previous years, you can go back and take a look at that. And that'll show projects we've done over the years and test results.
All right. And that's the City of Battle Creek website, of course. So that'll be somewhat easy to find. So, Amber, from a civil engineering perspective, what do you want to see in that report?
Good test results.
Yeah.
Making sure that the lines are good, which is also, you know, we have to work together, updating the lines, making sure we're getting problematic lines out. So, yeah, just good test results.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you bring up about the line. So the lead service line replacement effort is something that's been going on for some time, right? This is something that has to be done in phases, and it's a big job. And so that still continues, right?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, a lot of communities have been doing this for years now, but I think what really sparked it was the 2014, Flint water crisis there that they had. So since then, you know, the state in conjunction with the EPA have put in a lot of new restrictions and requirements that they'd like to see moving forward with, you know, and that sparked the big national movement of get the lead out. So
sure did.
That kind of redefined my career a little bit here and really, you know, gave us a goal. And it's a hefty goal now that we have to do. And it's put a lot of work on us, but we're plugging away at it.
How do you look at that, Amber, from your perspective? When we talk about lead service line replacement, what are you most concerned about?
So on my side of it is we are working with a contractor on the private side at residents' houses. So if it's lead or galvanized in the road, that's mainly the water department taking care of that. But on our aspect, we're going from the curb stop all the way into people's homes up to their water meter. Mm-hmm. So they're going ahead and doing the back and verifies for us to let us know, you know, if it is on the private side. And then we get a contract filled out with the homeowner and the tenant. And then we send that to our contractor and they'll go ahead and remove those lines.
Which is, as we were saying, not a simple project, right? I mean, that has to be dug up and the work has to be done. But boy, is there a load off folks' minds, I would imagine, once they're out of there.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to realize too here is with what happened in Flint, they changed what they were using for their source water. They were using the Detroit-based Lake Huron water for their source, mm-hmm. and then they switched over to the Flint River. And when they did that, some of their treatment processes that they used for corrosion control were not there, which allowed the lead and contaminants to leach into the water system, which created the problems that they had. The good thing about the city of Battle Creek, we have a good stable source water. It's from the Marshall Bedrock Aquifer. So this is underground. It's not surface water. So it provides a pretty stable source water for us. And the city has always had a treatment process where we introduce orthophosphates into the distribution system during treatment. That helps coat the lining of the distribution system and the service lines. It reduces the amount of, the lead that can leach into the system. And we've we have to report, we have lead and copper sampling that we have to do every year to the state. And I've been doing that personally myself for the last 9 years or so. And what we do is we pick about 30 sites every year. I'll go into the home, collect the samples, and then distribute them to the state lab. So as long as I've been doing it, we've had great results, all well below the action levels that are determined by the state. So we have a great treatment process in place with great levels to get us by until we get all the lead out, which is going to take some time. We have a lot of lead in the system. So
yeah. How have you approached doing that? It's been, as I recall, it's been an effort to identify what might be priority areas first. And then move through the city in terms of the other areas where the lead has to be replaced. How have you gone about that? And then what do you consider to be the timeline at this point? Either one of you has that answer.
Yeah, so part of the process that the state has told us that needs to be implemented as well as the EPA is we have to do a service line inventory. So we have to determine the service line material types for these houses that we may not know what's there. A lot of these services have been replaced over the years, and there hasn't been a good record of them being updated. So we have a big effort right now for getting this report done for the state. All the municipalities in Michigan are having to do this, and it gives them a scope and kind of shows the state how many lead surfaces are really out there. So
absolutely.
That's a big undertaking in itself. One of the problems that we had in the city, we had record of the public portion of the service line, which is basically from the water main to the right-of-way or the sidewalk area. Mm-hmm. But we did not have good record of that sidewalk area into the home, which is the private portion.
Yeah. You have a way where folks can tell you if they know what they have, right?
Yeah, we do. We just started this survey that we're putting out there where customers can get on this survey and help us, let us know what material type is coming into their home. It's the third step, really, in the process of verifying these, because we have to have a 3-point verification for each service line before we can determine course of action. So we have to, first of all, we have a couple hydro excavator trucks. And you'll probably see it around town, and we'll be out working in the sidewalk area where the water shutoff valve is. So we typically vac down there and determine the material type on the public portion and the private portion. So then after that, we need that 3-point verification where that's in the home, typically in the basement area or crawl space area where the water meter is. And that's the part where we can have residents help us out with that survey. Part of that survey, it's just filling out their name, phone number, email, the property address, and it'll explain kind of what we need you to look for, some examples of the pipes that may be in the home, and it'll allow you to take a photograph of that and upload it to the survey and send it in.
You know, I remember having a conversation some time ago now with Perry Hart about this subject and the notion that we just don't know what was used, what materials were used when a lot of the constructions in the city were done. They just didn't keep records, right?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing is typically the city was not responsible for, or we didn't own or maintain the private portion of the service line. So this has added a lot of work and, you know, financial burden on the city, because part of what the state and EPA has determined is if there's a lead service in the road on the public portion, downstream of that on the private portion of that service line, if it's galvanized, that galvanized service is now considered lead because the galvanized can collect and accumulate the lead particles in it.
I see.
So now the city is actually responsible for replacing that entire service line from the main all the way into the home to the meter.
Sure.
So that's really why we have to do these service verifications, because we didn't have that record of the private portion, you know, historically.
Is it possible, I presume it is, that back then different contractors building different properties might have used different materials? There wasn't a standardized rule about what they had to use.
Yeah, I mean, it was typically narrowed down to, we really haven't seen any lead on the private portion of the service lines. It's typically going to be either galvanized or the copper, with the newer service lines going in, or plastic.
Yeah, I was just about to ask it. It's neither of those now. It's different. We've learned something, haven't we?
Yeah.
And that survey that you're talking about, where folks can identify what it is they have based on the questions that you ask, that's right on the Water Department website, is it?
Yeah, I think it's right on the homepage. If you go to the City of Battle Creek website, scroll all the way down to the bottom. I think on the left-hand side, there'll be a graphic there and it says, get the lead out.
Got it.
If you click on that, I think you have one more click to do where it'll say reporting a short survey, and that'll take you right to that link. Excellent. We also have a Battle Creek newsletter that goes out, and I believe the QR code for that survey is on that newsletter as well.
Okay. So fairly easy to find. And of course, if you're listening via podcast, all you have to do is take a look at the show notes for this episode, and we'll put the link in there, and you can just click right on through. Well, a massive project underway, but an important one, clearly, and you've been working on it and continue to work on it. Let's talk about some fun stuff. You got an award recently, is that right?
Yeah, we actually had Amber's part of a team that goes to our state competition every year. It's called Hydrant Hysteria. Kind of let Amber talk about that.
Yeah, we actually have two teams that participate in Hydrant Hysteria, which is assembling a fire hydrant as fast as we can and making sure that all the parts are on there good, sealed, nothing's loose. So the men's team, they are the 7-time state champions.
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
So they've won 7 times and went to nationals 7 times. And then the women's teams, which is actually, so there's 3 people on a team. So you have the 2 people that are the assemblers, and then you have a coach. Me, it's the women's team. We're actually called the Twisted Sisters, because it's me and my sister-in-law that actually works here too. And then our dispatcher, Tara, and we have been able to participate for 3 years now on the women's side of it. And our team has held the title for 3 years, and we are actually number 2 in the nation. So we went to Canada this last year, and we are number 2. We only didn't get number 1 because of a penalty, but it's how the cookie crumbled. So, and we are all, actually both teams are going to Anaheim, California in June to compete again at nationals.
Oh my goodness. So this is a competition that really helps underscore the importance of water, right? And the accuracy of the equipment that carries it.
It's fun to get people involved too, because obviously my sister-in-law and myself we're in engineering, so we deal with the hydrants, but not the same as, you know, if it was somebody in water distribution. The other team that is the men's team, they all work in water distribution, and so they deal with it in a different aspect as us also, so it's fun.
Well, congratulations. And how impressive is that to be at a national level? Are there a lot? I presume most states are represented at least, right?
Yeah.
And maybe multiple teams from a certain state.
Yeah. So it goes by, they're called sections. So a couple of the states have multiple sections, so they can take multiple people. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is impressive. We hardly knew. Hydrant Hysteria is a big deal. In Battle Creek, clearly.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Well, congratulations. By the way, what we talked about in terms of the lead service line replacements, this has been a significant outreach to the community that you've had to undertake to educate people about this. That's been a big job in and of itself.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of community engagement. We just received a grant, too, to help us out with that for a lead service line replacement info. It came from Eagle, their System Advisory Council mini grant. We got $8,294 from that for education on how to report your service line material to the city. So we've done a couple of cool things. We just got some refrigerator magnets made. About 3,000 of them will go out to Battle Creek and Lakeview elementary students. So we're going to distribute those that way. And the cool thing about those magnets is that'll actually help us out with the survey that the customers can do online, because they can use that magnet to stick to the pipe to see if it sticks, it would be galvanized. If it's a copper service, and it, you know, it won't stick to that or the plastic. So
great idea.
Kind of a good tool we thought of to help people out with that survey as well. We've also done some bill stuffers and the utility bills that go out that got some information on it. I'm actually going tomorrow to do a radio spot. So we're going to put it out on the radio a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Our newsletter that goes out, we've got some information that going out to over 17,000 residents. Social media.
Yeah. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which will get promoted that way too.
Yeah. It's great.
Well, this is all part of an intense effort that maybe isn't obvious when you start talking about lead service lines and trying to get the job done. The job itself is important, but then how do we make people aware of that? And as you can see, and you've heard, this is an added component. Maybe complication, but another task that has to be completed to try and get that word out. So congratulations on the grant, which we would all hope for, right, when we have such a project to undertake. Yeah. Folks should, by the way, put May 15th on their calendars, because you have a big open house event, right?
We do, yes. The Department of Public Works open house. That is going to be held on May 15th, like you said, from 4 to 6 p.m. If it rains that day, they're going to put out a rain day. I don't know exactly the date of the rain day, but this is a free event for people to come to. We encourage you to bring your children. We think that it's super informative. You can touch the trucks. You can sit in the trucks. You can touch the equipment. They're going to be having paint a plow, which is really fun. There will be the hydrant hysteria demonstration from my sister-in-law, my partner, and I will be doing that. They're going to have some demonstrations from wastewater about the flushable wipes and how they're not really flushable. And there's going to be a lot of stuff there. There's going to be a food truck. I'm not exactly sure who the food truck is yet, but I did hear there is confirmation of a food truck that will be available.
Okay.
Some little free things for the kids to do and some fun activities. And we really encourage people to come down here and see all the wonderful things that Public Works does for the community.
All right. May 15th, 2024, 4 to 6 p.m., Department of Public Works. And this is always exciting to see that equipment up close, kids especially, but the adult kids as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like me, you know, we'd be interested to see that. And that hydrant hysteria demonstration, I'm really glad to hear we're going to see that, because now I'm intrigued. I want to see how this works.
Yeah.
So that'll be the day. Is this an annual event? Is this something you do every year?
Yes, I think this is our third or fourth year doing it. I know COVID kind of changed a few things, and we used to be downtown. We used to do a open house downtown right in the McKinley Square area there, but we've moved it down here because it's just easier to have our equipment, and in the evening it's more ability for people to come in and see.
And just remind folks, if you would, where that is in case someone doesn't know but they're interested.
Yep, it's at the Department of Public Works building at 150 South Kendall Street.
Okay.
Right in the front parking lot.
Yep.
Okay, we won't be able to miss it then on May 15th. And if you're hearing this after May 15th, just know that there's another one coming, most likely in May sometime. So check the DPW area of the City of Battle Creek website for those details. Well, congratulations on all your awards and grants and the progress that you've made with the lead service line replacement. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to add, if you receive a consent form, so that will be through mail usually, or one of us will come to your house and bring it to you if there's an emergency. There is a form that has to be filled out for someone that is going to have their letter galvanized service replaced. Nope. It's super easy to fill out, but we just need all the information filled out, especially if you have a tenant that needs to be filled out. And we definitely need an updated phone number.
Okay. So before any work gets done or we start moving in that direction, this form needs to be completed.
Yes.
And is that easily found if someone wanted to be proactive and try and find it themselves? Is it on the website?
Those usually are sent out by us because we do know that the inside material does need to be changed out also on the private side. So those are usually sent out by somebody from the Department of Public Works.
Okay. So if you're in that zone, you're going to see that arrive in the mail. All right, great. Matt Miller, Amber Whitcomb, City of Battle Creek, all things water has been our discussion. Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.